main test studies on the future. And I want to speak about 10 points that represent my father, and I think that all of us can learn from. But before that, in order to get a little perspective of these 10 values, I want in 2 minutes to tell you a little about the history of my father and to go to the past, because there is no future without past and no present without past, only to get a perspective and from there to go to the values. My father was born in Berlin, 1915, 96 years ago, as only son to a family that was Orthodox. His father was a lawyer, Orthodox lawyer in Berlin. His elementary school he did in the Jewish school of the community. High school he did in the public one, the best school that was in Berlin. And on Sunday he went to a Jewish school to learn about Torah and Gemara and Avodat Hashem. In 1933, when he is in the last class, 12th class, he sees from the window one day that the Nazis are coming to the court in Berlin. The building of the court was half the court and half was offices of lawyers. They grabbed his father out of the office, they beat him, and they told him that he should never come back to his office. He saw that from the window. At night the father came, and the father said, "We are moving to Israel." He told his son, "Don't even wait to a certificate. Go be in another place in Europe and wait till you can get a certificate, until we can get a certificate. We will meet in Israel. No one knows what can happen in one day in Germany." My father was exactly in his end of his high school. He wanted to be very much a doctor, a surgeon. And he told that to his father. And his father told him that he had to go to the Rav of Berlin and to ask him, because he's a Kohen, and a Kohen he cannot do autopsy and cannot be mitamela mitim. And he went and asked the Rav of Berlin, and the Rav of Berlin told him, "You have to look for another occupation." And I won't go now, we don't have time to go to the halachic background of this question and the different opinions. He decided then to learn philosophy of physics, because he felt that this is a very deep subject, but from that you can get a lot of wisdom and a lot of chokhmah. He went to Vienna for a year, learned in university there, applied to the Hebrew University, got a certificate, was the first class of physics in the Hebrew University. In 1934, end of 1934, he came to Israel, arranged a certificate to his parents, and his parents came. He was learning as a student in the Hebrew University physics. He was the first doctorate of physics of the Hebrew University. In the same time, he had to work at night in order to give money to his parents, because they had to leave their money in Germany. And in the beginning, he was working the whole night as a man in a hotel, in a reception. For 2 years, he saw that he can't handle it anymore. And then he decided to be at night, in the evening, a teacher for mathematics in the high school near the Hebrew University. I'll speak about it later, but I cannot not tell you now that one of the things that I was learning in the Shiva, how you can influence people without speaking. We are going to have tonight later in my mother house, Imi Morati, Shetechiyeh Leshanim Arukot Bebriut, we are going to have a Azkara, and they're going to come few students that he taught 66 years ago, mathematics, when he did it in order to give money for his parents, and they said that they want to come because they felt that all their life was changed because of him, and I will speak about it later. 1939, he went to the British Army. They took him by force and he had to go. And he was an Egyptian in Egypt. Did very important service there. Had a problem of kashrut and didn't eat things that are not kosher. 1944, he was now against the English people in the Haganah and had a very, very important job there. Then he came to be a lecturer in the Hebrew University. Then he went in 1951, he went to be a professor in Harvard. And in 1953, he wrote his first book about Massa, sent it in Torah Taquanti, sent it to Albert Einstein in order to write a foreword. And after a week, Mrs. Dukas, that was the secretary, called and said that he doesn't want to write the foreword before he meets my father because he's so impressed from the book. And he asked my father to come. My father flew from New York to Princeton, met Albert Einstein for 4 days, most of the day, 4 meetings, spoke about a lot of important things. I will relate to that later. 1955, they decided, both my mother and my father, to come back to Israel, even that he was offered very high standard positions, both in Harvard and both in Berkeley University. They decided to come back because they wanted that we will get, I wasn't born yet, but my sister will get the education here in Israel and not in the States. Even that they told him that they will make him, because he wasn't an American citizen, they will make him a special respect citizen that he can stay. They decided to come here in order that we will get the spiritual education in Israel. When people in Israel heard that he's coming back, Professor Hugin came to him and asked him to come and to open the physics department in Bar-Ilan. And even that he could go back to the Hebrew University and teach there, he decided to go to Bar-Ilan because it was important for him that there would be a university of Torah. And he was in Bar-Ilan till the age of 82. 15 years after retiring, he was still teaching there. He came to be the rector, came to be the president of the university, wrote a lot of books, I will relate to that later, got a lot of prizes, I will relate to that later, was chairman of a lot of committees in Israel, taking care of the high standard of universities, taking care of the atom in Israel, the energy atom, was asked by Ben-Gurion to be the chairman of that committee. But I think the main thing, and that's what little bothered me in the Shiva, when we read the newspapers in Israel, that they spoke so much about the accomplishment that he had. To me, the biggest accomplishment was that all this came with tremendous nava, tremendous tzniut, tremendous humble, never spoke about the prices, and so on, and I will relate to that later. Let's go, please, to the 10 points. Point number one. Netinat tochen ruchani lachaim. If I had to define my father, alav shalom, areini kaparat mishkavo, I think that the first thing is understanding that what gives happiness to a man, what gives values to a man, what gives shleimut to a man, is spirituality, is ruchnit, is chokhmah. Whenever he was searching for chokhmah, whenever he made his research, that was the time that you saw that he is alive. Whenever he had to spend with other things, no matter why, you felt that now he has to do it. But it's not the ikar. And the ikar is spirituality. Says the Ramchal in Derech Hashem, Hine muchrach shanishtadel haneshama vetitchazek. ותהיה הולכת ומחלשת את כוח חושך החומריות עד שישאר הגוף בלתי חשוך ואז יוכל להתעלות הוא עמה ולאור באור העליון ואולם מעמק עצם חוכמתו התברך שמו היה לסדר הדברים באופן שאף בהיות האדם שקוע בחומר בהכרח כמו שכתבנו יוכל מתוך החומר עצמו והעסק הגופני להשיג את השלימות אל הזך ואל המעלה. דרך השם אלות and מסילת ישרים, אלות and מסילת ישרים in other books speak about that the man has two forces, the chomriyut, the guf, and the neshama. And the main thing that he has to do is to be sure that he uses the chomer only as a value, only as a tool. And the main thing is always to be involved and to give the neshama to go and to be controlling himself. My father, the main thing, if I can say, when my father, I could see that he's happy, that he feels accomplishment, was when he was simply sitting and thinking, as we see in the Rambam, about the complex of the word and the wisdom of the Kadosh Baruch. Hav Kook writes, what is special about the night? It's written in Shalosh Mishmarot Balayla. Writes Rav Kook, Halayla kfit chunato, that a man doesn't do things in the night. Night is not time for action. Night is time for thinking. Ha'adam ha'prati yuchal lehityached im nafsho. Al ken be'emet hu tzarich lakachat ha'chelek ha'yoter gadol behishtalmut ha'enoshit. בחוכמה ומוסר ודעת השם יתברך. Last night I had 2 minutes. I had my cell phone and I decided I'll go over the pictures that I took with my cell phone. There was a picture of my father sitting in the couch in the salon, going like that, 2 hands here, closing eyes, sitting and thinking. I started to pray. I think that we are not used to what Rav Kook speaks about the night. About lehityached im nafsho. Our learning is mainly books, and it's important, and I'm not taking away from that. Is learning information, and it's important. And without it, you can't. But there have to be time when you are mityached with the neshama. Time that you simply think. I remember the small child. I was always invited 3-4 times a week to my father during the day. All the tuisim were closed. There was dark in the room, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, called me bully, asked me to sit down, started to ask me chidot, important, how do you say chidot, Rav Waksman? What? Riddles in mathematics, without books, without computers, without anything, simply to sharpen the thinking in order to see things deep. And that was one of the most enjoyable hours, or maybe the most enjoyable hour of my day. And I think that this, the importance of being mitasek bechokhmah, both with books, both without books, but that should be our energy. He was connected to that like with enthusiasm. All the day, no matter where you put it. We went a few days after a sabbatical. We went to Belgium before we came to Israel. We were in a room. He was sitting like that, thinking, searching, thinking, analyzing things. I don't say that there was no one day without it. I think that there were no few hours without it. Could be in a bus, could be no matter where. But the importance of lichyot chayim ruchaniim, the importance of the night, the importance of lityached im nafsho. The Rambam in Hilchot Yesodei HaTorah says, ואיך היא הדרך לאהבתו ויראתו? How does a man come to love Hashem and to be frightened from Hashem in the same time? בשעה שיתבונן האדם במעשיו ובוראיו הנפרועיו הנפלאים הגדולים ויראה מהן חוכמתו שאין לה ערך ולא קץ in a minute that the man sits and understands the confusion and the complexity of the word. How the word is so special. מיד הוא אוהב ומשבח ומפאר ומתאווה תאווה גדולה. לידע השם הגדול, כמו שאמר דוד, צמאה נפשי לאלוקים לכל חי. I think that this is one of the most important things. Of לידע את השם על ידי מעשיו וברואיו הנפלאים. But if you see in the Mesilat Yesharim, in other books, there is a condition how to come to that. And without that condition, it cannot work. And this is to lower the materialism. You can't be spiritual if your head is connected with materialism. It's two forces that cannot be together. I will see the Mesilat Yesharim in the Ramban. But I think one of the things that I understood from my father is the understanding what is an aim and what is a tool. And understanding that materialism, not to say that it's not important, it is important. Only yesterday, a few people came to our house that are living in the States. And my mother, Imi Morati, spoke with them about making Aliyah. And they said, it's not easy in Israel. And she told them, money is important, but that shouldn't guide our decisions in life. And I think that this idea, the idea that there is a condition, if you want to be spiritual, you have to pay a price. And it's not a price because you understand that it's a tool. Is the important thing that I learned from my father, Harini Kaparat Mishkavo. Says the Mesilat Yesharim, אם תכלית בריאת האדם היה לצורך העולם הזה, לא היה צריך מפני זה שתופח בו נשמה כל כך חשובה ועליונה, שתהיה גדולה יותר מן המלאכים עצמם. If the main thing is to enjoy materialism, then there was no need that a man will have a neshama. כי היא אינה מוצאת שום נחת רוח בכל עינוגי זה העולם. Because the neshama is not being satisfied from materialism. והוא מה שנמדנו זיכרונם לברכה במדרש קהלת, וגם הנפש לא תמלא. משל למה הדבר דומה לעירוני שנשא בת מלך, אם יביא לה כל מה שבעולם אינם חשובים לה כלום, שהיא בת מלך. כך הנפש, אילו הבאת לה כל מעדני עולם אינם כלום לה, שהיא מן העליונים. והנאות העולם אין ראוי שיהיו לו אלא לעזר ולסיוע בלבד, שיהיה לו לנחת רוח ויישוב דעת, למען יוכל לפנות ליבו אל העבודה הזאת המוטלת עליו. I won't go to the next quotation very known of the Ramban in Kedoshim Tihiyu that says that in order to be Kadosh, in order to be spiritual, you are not allowed to be Naval Birshut HaTorah. And if all what bothers you in your head is meat and wine and enjoyment, you will never be Kadosh. And therefore, after the Torah says what is allowed and what is not allowed, now she tells you in general, know that it's only a tool and not a purpose. I only spoke about it this Shabbat with my mother. When he was offered so much to be in Berkeley and Harvard, and they left everything, because of this point. That all the materialism is a tool, but a tool to help for spirituality. And if they felt that the education will be better in Israel, then they are leaving that in order to have a better education. I'll tell you a story, but I myself heard it from my mother only during the Shiva. I never knew about it before. I think it was a year before I was born. There was a tremendous physician, professor of physics, that got the Nobel Prize. in the name of Dirac that decided to come and visit my father. And my father decided that if he has the honor to host this tremendous professor, he will make a reception for him. And he invited Harav Goren, that was the chief rabbi of Israel, ministers of the government. And my mother prepared the reception and so on. Everything was ready. And then an hour before it started, my father, that already was, I think, a rector in Bar-Ilan, told my mother, look, we have a problem. The chairs that we have in the house are plastic chairs. And it's not nice that such important people will sit in the plastic chairs. So maybe you can go to the neighbor and ask bring a few nicer chairs in order that we will respect the people. And she brought the nicer chair, but he sat in the plastic one. And I want to explain. It's not because he saw it in the Mesilat Yashar. It's simply because if it's plastic or not plastic, if it's fancy or not fancy, never spoke to him. It wasn't important. He didn't give any importance to that. The importance is to deal with the real things. He didn't see that as a factor. He didn't think it would make him happier. He didn't think it's important at all. But he understood that when you speak about others, then you have to respect them. I remember that I saw pictures of the wedding of my parents. It was in New York, in the year that my father was in Harvard. And I saw in the pictures that there were 10 people there. So I went to my father, and I told him after I saw the pictures, I said, how did you feel having only 10 people in the wedding? And not only that, but because all his big family was killed in the Holocaust, because except his parents and aunt and him that came from Germany, all the others stayed and were killed in the Holocaust. He didn't have even one relative in this wedding. All was the 10 people that was there from my mother's side. So I asked him, how did you feel? Looked at me, and he said, Sonny, called me Bully. Said, listen, if the halacha won't require 10 people in Birkat Chatanim, even that would be too much. I remember one day I came home, before I got married, and my mother in the door tells me, tell your father that it will be important for you in the wedding that he will buy a new suit. My father had the same trousers maybe for 4 or 5 years. So my father told me, when I came in, I told him, Shalom, and how are you, and so on. Told me, you agree to me that this doesn't make your life more shalom bite. So why do you buy a suit? I don't need it. It's okay. I think that we have to understand, and I'll conclude that in another chapter, that we can't have the whole package. If we want to focus, if we want to be spiritual, we have to understand that we should have materialism, and everyone according to him. I'm not asking the guys, and not that we should be exactly like my father. But to take this message that it's a tool and not a value, I think is very important. Next point, point number 3, is understanding what is your job in this world. Tafkid ha'adam be'olamo. Rav Kook, on what we say, Motzei Shabbat, Elokai ad shelo notzarti eni kedai. Says Rav Kook, לפני שנוצרתי כל אותו זמן הבלתי מוגבל שמעולם עד שנוצרתי ודאי לא היה דבר בעולם שהיה צריך לי כי אם הייתי חסר בשביל איזו תכלית והשלמה הייתי נוצר וכיוון שלא נוצרתי את אותו הזמן הוא אות שלא היה כדאי עד אז להיברות ולא היה בי צורך כי אם לעת כזאת שנבראתי מפני שהגיעה שעה שאני צריך למלא איזה דבר להשלמת המציאות. Kuk comes and says, we're saying in the end of Shmoneh Esrei in Yom Kippur, Elokai ad shelo nozarti eini kedai. Till I was created, there was no a goal for me in life. Therefore I wasn't created before. Every man has to understand what is his goal in life. My father, his goal in life was the Rambam that we learned before. To be mitasek b'chuchmah ha'elokit. To understand the complex of the word. And to spread it all over. Therefore he went to the whole world and gave lectures as a religious professor, that I'll come to that later. There were few countries, mainly Muslimic countries, that wanted to translate his books, but told him that they are not allowed to send him money. Indonesia and others, and he agreed that the books will be translated even if he doesn't get a penny. And my mother asked him, why? Tell them that if they can't send it to Israel, they're not allowed to send it to Israel, they should find a way and so on. He says, what is important is not the money, what is important is that people will know what is written. And for him, to spread the chokhmah was the thing that he felt, and for this he wrote his old books that he wrote. And the book Einstein and Religion, that we'll come to that in a few minutes, that speaks about that not only that there is no contradiction between science and Torah, and science and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they are completing one another. And one of the sentences that he quotes, or the sentences that Einstein told him, that everyone that has science without believing in Hashem doesn't have science. And he wrote this book because he wanted the people to understand how these two things are connected. And that was his mission. His mission was chokhmah, 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 to spread in the world. And it was very clear to him. And therefore he had a very clear understanding what is important and what is not important. And what he should put time and what he shouldn't put time. And now we are coming to number 4. Kiddush Hashem Ba'olam. All of us know, I only brought you a small quotation from the Sha'arei Tshuva. The main thing that a man is born is to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim. Kiddush Hashem Yitbarach Vayikar V'Tolet Hayakar Bo. Avodat Hashem Yitbarach V'Yirato V'Torato Ki Zeh Kol Ha'Adam. The thing that my father, simply by accomplishing all these prizes, as a professor of Bar Ilan, as a religious professor, that invited to Moscow and invited to Japan and invited to the whole world as a religious professor, by simply even without talking, and my father didn't talk a lot, by being a Yehudi Shomer Torah Mitzvot, that came to such an accomplishment, that was a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. Because there are a lot of professors that thought that these two things do not work together. It doesn't work together to have science and emunah. These are two contradicting things. And when they saw my father, they understood that he thinks differently. And that by itself, before I go to few actions and few stories, but simply by him giving a lecture with a kippah and being represented in Bar Ilan University, that by itself was a tremendous Kiddush Hashem in the world. Told me Professor Kaveh, the president of Bar Ilan, now, that was his student, that every time when he is meeting with people that are not religious, and he wants to speak about the Kadosh Baruch Hu, he's quoting from the book of my father, Einstein and Religion. And he says that this book was a tremendous Kiddush Hashem in the world. And I think that my father, I was learning the Rambam about Bchira Chofshit with my father before he wrote the book. And I felt, without him telling me b'ferush, that even that all the other books speaks about pure physics, here it speaks about Emunah and Mada, because it's important for him to show the combination of the two things together. And only a month ago, my brother-in-law told him that there are students in universities that it's hard for them to understand the combination of these two. And my father was already very weak and spoke very little. He told my brother-in-law, not only that they don't contradict, but they completing one another. I think this that he went to Bar Ilan and not to the Hebrew University was again because it was important for him to have Torah and Derech Eretz together. As I said before, in the British Army for 4 years, he didn't eat things that are not kosher, even though there were no other alternatives. He was invited to Russia, and he didn't want to go. Golda Meir told him that he must go, and he went, because they wanted at least to keep, after the 6 days war, they wanted to keep the track of the connection between Israel and Russia, at least in the scientific. He had to give his lecture in the afternoon. He came in the morning to hear his other people that are giving lectures. And he saw that all the flags there, except Degel Yisrael. Went back to the hotel, called Golda Meir, asked her what to do. And she told him, you don't go in if there is no Degel Yisrael in Moscow. And you write a letter to the chairman of the conference that if there is no Degel Israel, in 3 hours you are flying back to Israel and you are not giving your lecture. And stay in the hotel till they tell you that the flag is there. He wrote the letter, waited 35 minutes after. He got a phone. Immediately after the sender went with the letter, 35 minutes, he got a phone that the flag is there. And after that he met Jews on Shabbat, and they told him what a feeling it was for them to see Degel Israel in front of the Moscow Square in the beginning opening of the near the university. And that was, for my father, was a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. He was invited for the Nasikh of Japan, for the ruler of Japan, and he knew that he's not allowed to eat anything, and he was invited to give he was there for lectures, he was invited for dinner. And the Nasikh of Japan, the ruler of Japan, tells him, stop. My father knows he can't take anything. Everything was cooked and so on. So he told him, you stop. And he said, you stop. And he says, you stop. And like they went 3 times. And then he went like this. And a waiter came and told my father that the thing that he has was from plastic. And they made it exactly on the same design, a special kosher for him, like the other people have, the ministers and the men of the ruler of Japan, that they have from porcelain with the same design, and the whole food was flew from other places in the world in order, and because of him, all the people ate gilat in that night. But again, my father didn't call it Kiddush Hashem. For him, it was simply life. If next point, and I'll go fast because of the time, point number 5, is Hatmada Atzuma. The Kehilot Yaakov speaks that the getter of Talmud Torah is that you have to learn all the time unless you have another need. And by that he explained the parasha of Osik B'mitzvah in Talmud Torah. We don't say Osik B'mitzvah, Patur Min HaMitzvah. I invite every one of you to look in the Kehilot Yaakov later inside. Very important question. Why in every mitzvah, if I'm doing A, I shouldn't do B? But when I'm learning Torah and suddenly there is a wedding or halvaya, I should go. And there he speaks about that you have to learn every minute except if you have another need. This is what we saw with my father. And all this accomplishment certainly came because he had a tremendous gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of mind and sharp of mind and deepness of mind. But it won't come if you wouldn't put all the effort. One of the things that we have to learn, that if we want to accomplish Torah, we want to be Talmidei Chachamim, we should have the Hatmada that my father had when he was learning and searching for the wisdom that he was searching. Told me one of the Rabbanim that went into the family of my mother, that when he got engaged, the father of my mother asked him, what do you want to be? And he said, I want to be Talmid Chacham. So he said, I will have one suggestion for you. Go to my other son-in-law, Professor Yammer. Look how much he learns. If you will learn in Torah the same thing, I'm promising you will be Talmid Chacham. I took him a few years ago to get one of the prizes, Pras Emet. He got the Israel Prize, Pras Emet, from the Prime Minister. On the way there, he tells me in the middle, waste of time. I could learn. And this was his daddy. He didn't say it to impress me. He really felt it's a waste of time. He can learn in the same time. Another story that I heard only in the Shiva. He was the judge of a certain price in England that gave a lot of money to special scholarly people that were dealing with science and religion and so on. Templeton Prize it was called. And he was deciding who is getting it. And the Queen of England wanted to meet him in order to know who is the one that is deciding. So he got a phone from the secretary of the Queen of England that they will fly him in with my mother and be their guest, the royal guest, and so on. And my mother was very, very, she enjoyed to get this phone, and she went happy to my father and tell him that they are invited to the Queen. And my father said, look, if I could speak with her about wisdom, I will go. But to have simple talk, you know, simple talks, why to go? Tell her I'm not coming. It's a waste of time. And he didn't go. I know I'm disappointing the English guys. But he didn't go. A year later, came the second phone. She wants very much, please, that you should come. And it came the same answer. I should learn. It's a waste of time. And Tachlis, he was invited twice, and they didn't go to see the Queen of England. Another story that I heard only in the Shiva, a friend of mine that was learning in the Yeshiva, Yedidia Wolf, came to me and said, you know, I had a very interesting talk with your father. And I never remember that I met with him. He was a few times in my house, but I don't remember that they had a special talk. I said, when? I said, come, I'll tell you. I didn't want to tell you till today, but I'll tell you. When you got married in Malon Ariel, near the train station, at 10:30, he saw that all the adult people left, even though there was no snow, but they left at 10:30. And all the guys are staying to dance. So he asked one of the guys, tell me, till when are you dancing? They told him the bus is invited to 12 o'clock to come to take us to Shalavit. He said, okay, it's a waste of time now to be here an hour and a half. I was dancing with my son, I was with him. Now come the time to learn. Went to Yedidia because he knew him a few times from my house. He said, make me a favor, or invite a taxi, or take me, I have to go home to learn. And he left the wedding at 10:30. To tell you the truth, I even didn't say it till I heard it at the Shiva, because I was dancing with the guys. But he wasn't there, and he went to learn. I waited till my mother to come back. My mother came back, and then I went to sleep. This is when we speak about Hatmada. Next topic, and I won't go now because of the time to the quotations, but I advise you to see it another time, is focusing on few values and not all the values. Rav Dessler in Michtav Meliyahu speaks that yeshiva, in order to accomplish things, can attack everything. Can do chesed and do this and do this and do this. If she won't be focused, it won't work. I think what was special about my father, that he knew, and therefore he built to himself what is important and what is not important. He knew in what to focus and not what to focus. I remember he told me when approximately I was 5 years old, he told me you have to know everything about one thing and one thing about everything. In one topic, you have to know everything. In everything else, in every other field, you should know one thing. So everything about one thing, and one thing about everything. Next topic, and this is chaval that I'm doing it fast, is anava bitul atzmi, Netinat kavod lichol adam. Doing things with tremendous, I can't tell you how much, of modesty, of not taking care of himself, of giving respect to others. I will go only to maybe stories. When he came to Bar Ilan, they wanted to give him what we call the Reish Duchna. They are calling assistant. My father, and already someone was, they wanted to find someone to help my father to do things and so on. My father said, I'll tell you a story. When Albert Einstein came to Princeton, he was suggested to have an assistant, someone that will help him, like we call a Reish Duchna. And he said to the university there, to the head of the university, he said, you know, I only have 4 ideas that I want to develop. I don't need for that an assistant. For my father, I don't even have 4. I have only 2 ideas that I want to develop. I don't need an assistant. And he refused to have a Reish Duchna. I have hope that it won't cause Rav Waksman to cancel the Reish Duchna. But he didn't feel, he didn't want this cupboard of heaven. The driver that took him to Bar Ilan came to us in the Shiva and said that he failed in mathematics. He was a student by himself in university and he failed in mathematics. So he came and said to my father, maybe you can give me a tip how to succeed in the test. How to learn mathematics, I don't succeed. My father put a hand near him and my father said, if one donkey can do it, the other donkey can do it. Look what not thinking about himself, what bitul atzmi. The first Rosh Hashiva that was here, Rav Schlesinger, came in the Shiva. I think that my father maybe came to visit me once in Shalavim, before I got married. And I introduced him to Rav Meir, and then I went back, and they spoke for 5 minutes. I never knew what they spoke, and I left. Rav Meir told me, the first Rosh Hashiva that was here, told me in the Shiva, 30 years later, what he spoke. He asked my father, do you want to know anything about the philosophy of the yeshiva, about the education way of the yeshiva? My father said, yes. I have 2 questions that I really want. How do you educate all your students to have a tremendous humble? And how do you get all your students to understand what the real chokhmah is? And when you have the real chokhmah, then my first question is being answered. But if you really understand the biggest chokhmah, then automatically you are humble. How do you get that? And that was what he was bothered. That was what he wanted to know, how it's being done here in Shalavim. Came to me my cousin. His mother, her husband died, niftar, from cancer, and my mother was hosting them a lot of times. He was 11 years old, and he was a lot of lunches with us, because he didn't have a father, with his mother. And my father, as I told you, was only in Jewish school on Sundays. So there were a lot of things that he didn't know. So they had Zimun in free, because there was a guest, except 2 guests, and my father and this boy of 11. I was too young, and very young. And he asked the 11 years boy, if in 11 you are doing Zimun with a cup, with wine or without wine. He says, look, I don't know the answer, but you are learning in yeshiva. Tell me. So this boy of 11 felt inconvenient to say that he doesn't know. So I said, yeah, you do it with a cup. So my father took wine, and we did with wine. Later on, he said to himself, he went home, and he said to himself, how can it be that such a man, an old man, he doesn't have a problem to say that he doesn't know? But I have a problem to say that he doesn't know. And I think that everything comes from this tremendous humble. I must say that in 52 years, I never heard of Lashon Hara. I never heard of any haramat kol, any anger with voice. Because my father always understood that no matter what, the other man is another man and he has his own needs and his own personality. And I never heard, never, in the 50 years, not one hint of Lashon Hara, even though he was a president of university and dealt with a lot of people. Never heard him making the voice. Every time when he was called and got prizes from the Academy of New York and other places, he never related to that. I think I will stop here because of the time. Maybe I will go only to one to two more points and with this I'll finish. There is a lot more, but we don't have time. I will go to two more things that I think is important for all of us. One is the idea of deepness. Everything to search for the deep, to see it in a deep way. I remember, tell you two quick stories, even that I wrote before, I'll tell you two quick stories, and one more point, and with this I'll finish. When I came to the 11th grade in the Tiv Meir, I didn't know which department, what to take as a major. So I asked my father. My father said the most deep thing, and the most thing that you can really see the wisdom, is physics. So I started to learn physics as a major. Every time when I came home, I was in the dorm, but when I came home, he asked me, what do you learn? And all the time he was disappointed that we are learning the formula and from there on, but never we were learning how to get to the formula. And never we were getting the deepness. So he came to me and he told me, I want to meet your physics teacher. And I never wanted. I said, it's the last thing that my father will start to tell him how to teach. I never arranged this meeting. Before Purim, there was a Parents' Day. And from the first grade, my father never came to Parents' Day. Suddenly in 11th grade, I see him and my mother coming to Netiv Meir. I said to my father, okay, shalom, thank you for coming. He is the Rebbe, you can meet him. He said, no, I came only for the physics teacher. Went to the physics teacher, told him, look, you are teaching them how from here on, but you didn't explain how to do this, how it came, the history, the philosophy, what we call the Iyun part. Shorosh HaMachloket, you didn't explain. And he gave him examples from what he knows that we learned and how he should say it. And this teacher for physics was a tzaddik. And he said, I'll tell you the truth, I don't know that. I only know from the formula I had, I don't know all this. If you want, you're invited to come and to teach, he told my father, but I don't know. He went out, I met him, he said, you can switch for another topic. If they don't teach you how to think, then switch to something else. I don't know if that was the reason, but in the end of the year I switched. But the idea of understanding everything, deepness, never understand things that are not in the Shorosh HaMachloket. Two more stories and with this we'll finish. When we got engaged, my father came to my in-laws that night, and the sister of my wife, that was very young, a few years, she said, half joke, half seriously, that now she has another number to remember, and she read the number of my phone and how. That she will remember it and hope her to tell her sister to call me from time to time. After a few minutes, my father called her like that, come. Told her, if you want to remember our number, besimcha rabba. But that you should write. Leave your brain to really deal with the deep things, not with memory. For this, you have a pinkas. Write down the number every time that you need, have it. But the brain has to be for thinking. Last thing, and with this I'll finish, and to me, maybe that was the biggest lesson in the Shiva. Mamish, the biggest lesson in the Shiva for myself. We sometimes think that influencing people is by speaking with them, by being with them, by telling them what to do. You can't imagine how many people came and are going to come tonight and said that the father changed their life. There is a guy that wanted to be a doctor, and because my father was teaching mathematics and he saw the deepness of mathematics, he decided to be a professor for mathematics. And I asked him, did you ask my father if this is the way or not? He said, no. He simply influenced me by his knowledge, by his way. Another student said that the respect that he had to every man is causing him today to think what respect he should give to his kids and people only because we remember my father 66 years ago. And I think that Anashim Gdolim, and we all have to be Anashim Gdolim, have an effect simply by being and having a role model. I want to pray to Kadosh Baruch, the president of Bar Ilan, Kaveh told me that he fought to learn one subject and he came to learn physics only because he saw my father. I want to pray to Hashem, I said it in the funeral, we are saying Hamakom Yanchem Otchem. And one of the explanations why we see the place, because when someone dies in the Word, the place that he lives in the Word is his kids, is the people that he have influence on. And if they are continuing the way, this is the biggest nechama, because that shows that there is no end. I want to pray to Hashem that all of us, everyone according to Him, will learn from these messages of what I called it in the beginning, Gadlut Chochma ve'anava. Both the knowledge and both the midos, both Ben Adam Lamakom and both Ben Adam Lechaviro. And having from this Shlemut, all of us, we should get Yirat Shamayim, Be'ezrat Hashem, and this should be the biggest Nechama to all of us.